It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, let's start with the rumors swirling in New England. Stephon Diggs visits the Patriots. Last year for the Houston Texans, he did play 50-50 in the slot. And that was a big departure for him because he's been primarily a 70-30 outside player for much of his career. I mean, he's gone up to, you know, over 80% on the outside as well. So this has primarily been an outside player. But I thought the results there in Houston, I thought they were pretty good. I don't know what your thoughts were when he played in the slot. But, you know, I thought he was a relatively effective player. And certainly when they were looking for touchdowns and first downs, C.J. Stroud seemed to trust Stephon Diggs a lot.
Yeah, a couple things to get into here. Number one, the Steph Diggs profile is on the site. That dropped earlier this week, so people can check that out. It was funny as this. I will give a shout out to my producer over at Yahoo, Colin Brennan. I hate to give a shout out to producer Colin, but I will because I'm sitting on my couch last night in maybe a minor state of haze because might have already taken my sleep gummy by that point.
Okay. Good.
And I get the news alert that Stephon Diggs is visiting the New England Patriots. I'm like, I swear to God, at some point I said the Patriots should sign Stephon Diggs. I get a text from Colin with a video from my Yahoo show.
Wow.
Saying, hey, yeah. Like, yo, you actually did talk about this earlier in the week. And again, what a hell of a guy. Just sends me the clip of I posted that because, yeah, I just mentioned that I think the Patriots should sign Stephon Diggs because they clearly need wide receiver help. They need any type of wide receiver help they can get.
Right.
My dream scenario for them actually is that they do sign Diggs and then they take Travis Hunter fourth overall. I think as we mentioned on last podcast, they'd have some separators there in that case. If I was New England, I might go down that route, but we'll talk more Patriots and like their need in receiver. That'll actually transition us well to what we're doing later in the show. But yeah, man, I think Steph still showed, I would actually say that of the old guys on the market this past season or this free agency right now, you know, right, other than Davante Adams, take him out because I think he's kind of in a tier of his own, but like of the, you know, Cups, the Debos, again, I'm not counting like Godwin or Metcalf because those guys are like kind of in their, they're still kind of in their prime years, but right, like the Keenan Allens, the DeAndre Hopkins, I think Diggs was clearly better than any of those guys on film. Like, by a, you know, Amari Cooper, definitely way better than that.
Right.
The thing with Stephon is that he's coming off of a torn ACL in week 8, which was late October. And to me, the fact that this is the first peep we've heard about him in free agency pretty clearly sends a signal that teams are worried about that medical report. You know, this is a guy who's going to be 31-year-old receiver.
Right.
He is 31. He'll be 32 pretty soon, coming off a torn ACL. As we've talked about, James, like, that's really the thing that can send you over the cliff at the wide receiver position.
Yep.
Like, okay, you're in a
correct
little decline. Injuries can really push you over the cliff. And I think if we're looking at this Diggs profile from last year, there's no question that it's a continued decline from what we saw at Diggs's peak. But as we mentioned with Davante Adams, I think the same thing can be said about Stephon Diggs. That when we say Diggs's reception perception data is in decline, we're talking about a decline from one of the best performers of the reception perception era. So,
right,
yeah, he's no longer performing at the 99th percentile, 95th percentile type that he was doing in his prime years. But I still thought the results last year were pretty solid. We can break it down, but it's just, of course, like, what's the next step going to be?
Now, okay, here's the thing. If he goes to New England, and by the way, I love the fact that you brought up the injury, because I was gonna push back a little bit there, because I know that the decline from the numbers was very, I mean, again, I don't want to say subtle, but yeah, no, there was certainly a decline. But when you look at the data, it all looks still pretty good. 71.6% success rate versus man, that's 67th percentile. 78.8% success rate versus zone. Now, that's more league average, but we're really getting close to that 70-80, you know, split that we always look for in good players. He's above 70% in his success rate versus man. That's great. And he's pushing 80% success rate versus zone, which is, again, pretty good. But again, this is all pre-injury. So I would just say that I have a lot of hesitation in terms of a veteran player clearly in decline and then suffers a major catastrophic injury where they're talking about he might not be ready for week number one, right? So does this guy start on the PUP? And again, when we start going down that road for a 32-year-old wide receiver, Matt, history shows us that that's not really that good, you know? So I would be very, very concerned. I think it's a smart move if New England goes and gets this player and Stephon Diggs just to see what they got. But it feels like, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but it feels like it's not as bad as when Odell tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah,
but right. it feels like that's a similar kind of vibe, that similar kind of conversation that we're having. A really good player, veteran player, coming off of a major injury, I think people are worried about the medicals.
Yeah, and I think they should be. The fact that he's not signed right now, that he is taking visits to the New England Patriots, like... You know, I think the Patriots are an intriguing landing spot for a wide receiver because I think Drake May is a good quarterback that's on the come up. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, okay, I'm trying to go sign with a contender and win a Super Bowl. He's taking visits to a team that's picking fourth in the draft this year.
Yeah.
And up until like week 18, they looked like they were rocketing towards the first pick in the draft, you know? So this is I think he understands where he is, needs to go out and prove it again. And I think that teams understand that this is a medical risk. So I think if he signs, it will be a one-year deal. It will be incentive-laden. I don't think they'll give him a lot of money. And this is a kick-the-tires move on a guy like I said, was still playing really good football until he got hurt. And I also forgot, by the way, like as I was charting the final game, that it was a non-contact ACL injury for him too, because you know, typically when you're looking at the game logs, like, okay, this is the play he got hurt.
Yeah.
It's not even a play he was targeted. He's just running a little curl route on the outside and just he hops up, like, and you could, well, that's it. Last play of the season. So it definitely not great. I think the two areas where you've seen Diggs, like, the decline, even in the last 2 years, because like I said, we're talking about Stephon Diggs is one of the best reception performers that we've ever seen. He still owns the highest success rate versus man coverage that I've ever charted from 2020, 82.6% success rate versus man. You mentioned the overall numbers, obviously 71.6%. That's still like, if you're going to play on the outside, you're going to beat man coverage over 70%. I think that's good.
Yep.
I actually do think that Diggs, I'd probably rather see him play outside than inside. I think moving him inside was primarily, that was what the Texans needed, because they wanted to give CJ Stroud a viable third receiver, and Nico Collins is a pure X, and Tank Dell is definitely too, like, we think about it, like, oh yeah, guys that are smaller need to play in the slot. Well, I mean, if you're going to play in the slot, especially in an offense like that, you're going to have to do a lot of blocking. And Diggs isn't a great blocker, and Steph Diggs, I mean, and Tank Dell's even smaller. You know, he's obviously, he got hurt on a blocking play in his rookie season. Pretty routine run of the mill play he was blocking on, and that's how he got hurt. So I actually think Diggs moving outside might be better for him. But the problem, if he is going to be an outside receiver, which, like, I do think he still has the press man chops to play outside, 76 percentile success rate versus man press. The problem is the two areas I think that we've seen the biggest decline is the vertical game. Yeah. Each of the last 2 years, and this used to be a guy that was pushing north of 60% success rate on nines every single season from 2016 to 2022. In 2023, he drops down to 44% success rate on the nine route and 47.1% last year. That's obviously, like, if you're the Patriots and you're looking for outside receivers, he's not going to be the one that gives you that vertical ability on the outside. Also, the other area is the success rate on the dig route. Again, in 2022, Stephon Diggs had a 90.9% success rate on the dig route. That drops down to 68% in 23, and it was once again 70% in 2024. That's not poor. It's actually in line with the with the player average. But, like, the plays where I thought he was the least effective was actually working, like, all the way across back on the field on some of these motion plays. And I think that's just a lack of overall speed now at this point. Still a very crafty player, can get open. Love the outbreaking route success rate from this past season.
Sure.
And some of that was, like, attacking leverage as an inside player. So I think flanker slot, like, you know, probably 50-50, maybe 60-40 leading flanker is probably the best deployment for him.
Yeah, you talk about the, and again, go to the website receptionperception.com to see these charts, but a very interesting looking chart, because, again, over the top 47% success rate, below 50%, that's not good. And again, if you're new to reception perception, you want to be around, again, if you're attacking downfield, you'd like to be closer to 55% success rate on the nines, right? A little bit more than a coin flip, I think, is probably what we're looking at here on the nine route, right? When you're below 50%, that's just not good. But what I do find interesting, and you mentioned it here, is all of his outbreaking routes, Matt, are all in the green. That means they're all above the league average. Corner, out, comeback, flat route, they're all above the league average. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I would say of the three old receivers that we've talked about that I've had, like, okay, this is interesting, is Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, and DeAndre Hopkins. All those guys, and all those guys have high relative to the rest of their profile, better success rates breaking outside than they do, you know, working towards the middle of the field, which is problematic because most of your NFL route concepts are going to want to run over the middle of the field, especially if you're the primary target. You want to be running in the vision of the quarterback. But I will say, if you're going to be like a flanker slot hybrid, you're going to work out of these condensed formations using leverage, like, hey, we're selling the inbreaker and we're working outside. I think if I'm ranking the guys that did that and those three players, how well they did, I think Diggs clearly number one, maybe then Hopkins, and then Cooper Kupp, just like from an overall explosiveness perspective. But all three guys still showed the ability to do that. So Diggs, again, I do want him spending some time in the slot, and this is not the first time he's been a slot heavy player. Actually, in 2016, if you remember back with the Vikings, his second season, he was primarily used as like a bunny hop slot receiver. I think that was with Sam Bradford started the year in 2017, I think, and then obviously Case Keenum finished it. But like, they flip-flopped the roles there when it was like Adam Thielen was a perimeter receiver, Diggs was the slot, but then they're like, actually, it's better to have the big slot receiver in Adam Thielen and like the guy who can beat man coverage. Like, yeah, we should probably play him on the outside.
Yeah,
so
right,
Diggs
right,
at least right. has, this isn't like a total career transformation making him a slot receiver. He does have some experience doing it. So that's why I kind of like the 60-40 idea. But I do think those outbreaking routes, are really, and then there's nobody in the Patriots wide receiver room. Obviously, it's not a, it's not an accomplished wide receiver room anyways, but like I'm thinking about these guys generally, like Jalen Polk did his best work in college, didn't do any good work as a rookie. He did his best work in college as an over the middle threat. Pop Douglas is like a, he's literally that like pop gun slot receiver the middle of the field as well. Javon Baker, let's hypothetically, he gets on the field, he's a guy who would be, you know, like a vertical X receiver. So
yeah,
I think Diggs could fit as like that outbreaking route specialist here.
A couple of notes here on the outbreaking stuff. One, it's, and again, this is more just anecdotal, I don't have a lot of data behind this, but I just feel like when you're trying to get a big first down or when you're trying to get that touch, especially on touchdowns, you see a lot of outbreaking stuff. You know, you're getting away from especially when the defense is condensed down, the field is condensed down, there's just a lot of traffic in the middle of that field. If you can get open on the outside, you're going to pick up a lot of first downs, you're going to pick up a lot of touchdowns, and that's exactly what we saw with Stephon Diggs in 2024. The other note that that I laughed internally there was, you're like, yeah, obviously Case Keenum finished that season. I'm like, bro, there's no one out there other than Vikings fans that remember when and where Case Keenum finished a season. You know what I'm saying? in your crazy, you know, quarterback wide receiver brain, you've got this all mapped out, brother. But I'm like, well, okay, Case Keenum played that season. Okay, cool. You could tell me anything.
Who could forget that? Who could forget the Case Keenum 2017 NFC Championship? That was the year it was Brady, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum and Nick Foles as the final four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And obviously the Eagles and Nick Foles end up beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I will never forget that. That was the moment that put Stephon Diggs on the map. I mean, nationally, because he had the big play, the Minnesota Miracle against the
Saints
in the NFC. Yeah, that was that year.
Case Keenum.
That led the Broncos to make one of their many mistakes and give Case Keenum a bunch of money in free agency, where the Vikings are like, thank you for your service, we're going to pay Kirk Cousins a fully guaranteed contract.
Gracious.
So yeah, I remember this like it was the back of my hand, man.
Unbelievable. By the way, wait, hold up, now that I think of, was that both of our final year at NFL Network?
Indeed it was. That was not to get all the way into it, but I think the reason I remember all of this is because I was doing so much work with Next Gen Stats and like the off season before I inevitably ended up going to Yahoo. I was doing like real deal NFL Network TV hits. I actually just talked with Patrick Claibon about this because he was on my show, and I was like, oh yeah, this is it, this is the moment I'm gonna finally break through here at NFL Network. And it was actually, no, I'm gonna go take a different job.
No, actually, we're gonna fire you. God damn.
No,
that sucks.
I wouldn't say fired, but
okay, yeah, but it sounds better. It does sound better though. Come on.
It does sound a little bit funnier, but let's be real. It worked out better for your
play. Yeah, no, obviously, no. It's amazing how the universe works sometimes, but. No. You're making TV hits and you're thinking you're going to crack through, and then they're like, yeah, who is this guy? Yeah, we're going to let this guy
go.
No idea who this dude is.
Literally couldn't care. Yeah, I would have been like, hey, my current colleague, you know, Kurt Warner or whatever, our running bit.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
That is fantastic. I love it. Okay, what a trip down memory lane that was. Okay, so just from the New England Patriots side here, though, let's say Stephon Diggs ends up over there. Okay, we're talking about Drake May. Kendrick Bourne, I thought, was coming back from injury quite nicely. I thought he finished the year strong. I don't think he started the year very strong. I mean, again, we're talking about a player coming off an injury there. Kendrick Bourne was certainly that dude. He's going into his age 30 season. Oh, maybe he's going to his age 31 season. But anyways, he's north of 30. They just signed Mac Hollins as well. They've got a new coaching staff there, Matt. I think, and let me just pick your brain on this. I think regardless of what they do here, if it's Diggs, if it's somebody they add in the draft, if it's both, I think to me, this is either an indication of, okay, cool, we're either going to cut Kendrick Bourne or Jalen Polk is going to basically ride the pine here. I mean, and by the way, I am assuming Javon Baker's toast. Like, he's... there's just, and again, and this is coming from, if you guys listened to me last year, this is coming from a guy who freaking loves Javon Baker. I love Javon. I think this guy could play, but he didn't get an opportunity, but it doesn't matter. He didn't do all the things that were necessary to get on the football field. So Javon Baker, I'm assuming, is toast, but I cannot imagine when you're taking a look at some of these moves, none of this sounds very good for either Kendrick Bourne or Jalen Polk. I don't think it's both because they have such a need, but I could see a world where Jalen Polk gets pushed off to the side because he wasn't drafted by this regime.
Oh, dude, I'm willing to believe anything about these Patriots receivers at this point. I mean, I do think they're gonna, I think this will be a situation like with Buffalo where Mac Hollins ends up playing a lot,
because
because he was pursued by this current brain trust, but also because he's got history with Josh McDaniels and stuff like that. Like he's gonna end up playing a lot. Blocker, tone setter, culture guy in the room, the whole deal. I think they'd have to make some big swings at the perimeter receiver spot for Mac Hollins not to play. But I do think that let's say they add nobody. Okay. I think at this point it doesn't even matter. Like they'll enter camp and just be like, it's a free for all competition basically, and like whoever plays the, which I don't know if I love that, but like whoever plays the best in camp, you just go for it. I do think they'll probably make an addition here, both in the draft and like some level of free agency. I think if Polk comes in and has a good offseason, I think the front office still wants him to be good. Like, sure. This is still the same front office, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, Elliott Wolf is still in place there. I think they still want him. They don't want to give up on their draft picks there necessarily. So I'm kind of willing to believe anything. And I do think that Polk was a little bit set up. Obviously, he didn't make the most of his opportunities, but he was a little bit set up to fail. We've talked about this. Like, they played him a lot as X receiver. They had him run a lot of go routes and stuff like that. Things that he just never did at all in college. So I think it's not like total 0%, but obviously the odds do not favor those guys. I will say, like, Kendrick Bourne, he could get cut. I mean, I think
Bourne isn't
really a needle mover either at this point in his career.
No. And again, we're talking about an older player, but that being said, he could be providing veteran leadership for a team that reportedly, and again, we're not anywhere close to this team, but it reportedly lacked a lot of maturity. Maybe it was from a top-down perspective as well, but Jalen Polk's, his confidence was just shot last year. Let's see if he can get some of that swagger back going into year number two of his NFL career.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.